Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Shuttle Pod, Trek Movie's very own little podcast. This is Brian Drew, and I am with...
Hey, I'm Kayla Iacovino.
This is Jared Whitley.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are recording this on April 4th, and we decided this week that we would basically do a potpourri, as it were, of Star Trek news that's been going around. The first thing, and I think the thing that's been on fans' minds most recently is Star Trek Axanor. Last week, Axanor and the law firm that represents them, Wallace and Strawn, I believe.
Winston and Strawn, yeah.
Winston and Strawn, thank you very much. Filed a motion for the second time attempting to get the copyright infringement lawsuit that's been launched against them by CBS and Paramount dismissed. And basically, we have this front row seat to all this drama that's going on between this fan production and two, you know, this giant entertainment conglomerate representing, you know, a studio and a television network. And it's just been fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it's if I can interject briefly, the thing that's been most fascinating to watch is Axanor's reaction on social media, which seems to have absolutely no intelligent legal or communication strategy behind it. I can just editorialize.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, he literally said last week, Goliath, meet David.
Right. Alec Peters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, well, anyway, one of their bases for asking for another dismissal, this is the second time they tried to get the lawsuit dismissed. This time, they are basically, first of all, they don't believe the studios can sue them because, according to them, Axanor does not exist, so you can't infringe on someone's IP when the project doesn't even exist yet. Is that one of their arguments?
Of course, they're ignoring Prelude to Axanor, which does exist, and all of the material goods that they've produced and given or sold.
Right, and not to mention that scene that they shot that
and
takes place on Vulcan,
scene.
Which has been now been pulled off YouTube.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on in that regard. They've also, they're taking a very novel, I guess would be the best way, approach to pushing back against the studios. And essentially, they're trying to question the very nature of copyright. They feel that, for instance, if they want to use Vulcans, if they want to use people with pointy ears.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are many creatures with pointy ears in fiction.
Right.
But just elves and vampires.
Right. So they point to other instances in nature where you might see pointy-eared creatures or pointy-eared fantasy characters, right?
Yeah.
So like elves, for instance, right? And they claim that on that basis alone that they should be able to proceed because...
It seems thin to me. I mean, they're basically, like, some of the things they're saying is that they're saying, originally, CBS Paramount filed this claim, and the first motion to dismiss by Axanor and lawyers said, you need to be more specific about which elements we infringed
right.
upon, otherwise we can't respond to the suit, so it's unfair.
Right.
And so CBS and Paramount did that, and they filed a second suit that listed all of these things with even pictures. Actually, it's quite a fantastic response. It has a table with pictures in it and everything.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Exhausting detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now the latest response is basically, well, one of the things in the latest response from Axanor is that certain elements that CBS and Paramount have pointed out in this new amended complaint are not copyrightable things. For example, I think they mention triangular-shaped medals on a uniform.
the actual geometric shapes of the Starfleet Delta.
Yeah, so they're saying that can't be copyrighted. But it's just like you're saying, you know, something with pointy ears can't be copyrighted, but that seems thin to me because if you take someone with pointy ears, give him, you know, dark hair, a crop haircut, put him in a Starfleet uniform, you know,
right.
giving the Vulcan salute and then call him a Vulcan, then
and,
it's not just a guy with pointy ears anymore. It's a Vulcan.
And cast an actor who played the Vulcan on Star Trek Enterprise to reprise the same role.
Role of the same character, yeah.
Exactly.
So
right.
Yeah.
I don't understand. That seems thin to me because, and the other thing that Paramount did supply in their amended complaint are CBS and Paramount were the actual copyright file numbers for each of the things they were saying you infringed upon this. Here's the number of this copyrighted thing that you can go look up and it's, you know, copyrighted by the federal government. So I don't know how you can argue with that.
Right, and one of the things they push back on in this latest motion is they claim there's still not enough specificity. But it's like, how much more do you need?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally break it down with photographs and everything. The studios. Right. It's like, it's incredibly thorough. So, I don't know. So, yeah, they're doing everything they can. I don't know. I think they're probably trying to... I can't imagine they think they're actually going to win the lawsuit.
I can't either, but I don't know what their end game is. Is it?
I assume they're trying to negotiate a settlement. I don't know.
I mean, is this just? It seems more like a delay tactic, though, or yeah. Kind of a long, like a moonshot. Like maybe this will work, so let's try it. But if it doesn't, then what's your backup plan?
Right. Like I think their hearing on this motion to dismiss is on May 9th, and I guess if that gets denied, it moves into the next phase, which I think is discovery, which is where, you know, they really start going through the finances and everything else. And that's when things could get very interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they really wanted to get that far.
We should also mention the latest with Jared mentioned earlier, just Alec and Axanar itself and other people speaking on social media. Alec Peters just did a video interview with Trekzone that we published on the site. We published part one of two-part interview, and it looks like from the teaser at the end of part one that things maybe got a bit heated in part two.
Yeah.
So we're all waiting on bated breath to see what that looks like.
Yeah, well, in that second part, first of all, this is by a man named Matthew Miller who landed the interview with Alec, and I think the initial conditions for the interview were that they were not going to talk about anything pertaining to the lawsuit. And in the first part, he pushes Alec a little bit, but he doesn't push him too far. It largely remains a very calm, civil interview. But it definitely appears clear in the second half. Matthew wants to push him on certain topics, and specifically, at least for what we could see in the clip, he's calling him out for the fact that the Axanar folks ban people on their social media accounts if they even question any of the activities of the Axanar production group.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and that's a big that's a big problem for Alec, I think, in this case, especially because throughout the interview and on other mediums as well, a big point from Alec's point of view has been the allegation that his donors have been happy with everything and that his duty is to make the donors happy because they're the ones who gave him the money to do the project. So his role is to fulfill what he promised to do for them. And that's why he said, I don't owe you any answers. I owe answers to the donors. But then, so I think it's important to say, well, okay, maybe that's true, but you're only hearing from the donors that agree with you. Or it's what it sounds like Matt Miller is suggesting.
Right.
So I think that's an important thing to press.
I agree. And based on the clip, Alec does not take to the questioning very well and reaches out to Mike Bawden, I believe his name is, who's Axanar's PR guy. And apparently Mike is going to be on the next part of the show. And as is Axamonitor is Carlos Pedraza, who has worked for us on Trek Movie. He's written for us on Trek Movie.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't think they're all going to be talking together. I don't think Carlos and Alec are going to interact. I think maybe Carlos will be on afterwards.
Yeah, as commentary.
With commentary based on what Alec has said and Mike Bawden. So it's an interesting thing to observe, that's for sure. I mean, none of us have any real, you know, stake in it, obviously. It's more we're watching it from a clinical standpoint.
Yeah,
almost,
You
know, but it's fascinating to watch this whole thing transpire.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what toll it takes on the fan film community. I feel like
that's the
Yeah, Star Trek issue. Continues. Star Trek continues is having trouble raising their meeting their Kickstarter target.
They're having an Indiegogo campaign right now. So they are raising funds right now to do the next couple of episodes, and they do have a bigger goal than they've ever had in the past, but it does seem like it's been slower. And I believe Vic Mignogna, who's the head of the Star Trek Continues crew, has said basically, this has been slow going this time.
I know they're trying to add more perks and stuff like that to get people excited, but I know they've been, they've been having trouble.
Yeah, people have actually been reaching out to Star Trek Continues saying, you know, I'm worried about, I want to help you guys, but I'm worried about my donation because of this thing with Axanar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have had that feedback.
Also, with both a movie and a TV show coming out in the next year, there may be a little less demand for Trek stuff.
Sure, that could be true, but I feel like a lot of, well, at least a lot of the people who have seen Star Trek Continues, the returning fans, I think would be less influenced by that just because
I agree.
They've seen the product that they can make and want to see more of that.
All right, so let's move on a little bit, shall we? There's been a little bit of convention news lately.
Yeah, that's right. Jared, maybe you can talk a bit about Creation's upcoming Star Trek Las Vegas convention because Jared actually got to sit down and talk with Gary Berman, the head of Creation. So
he's the co CEO along
the co CEO.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble.
Along with Adam Malin, right?
Adam, yeah, the two of them, and they've been running this for decades together. And they do the annual Las Vegas convention, which is the biggest one in the world so far. And he was excited to say that this year. You'll be able to showcase Whoopi Goldberg and Kirstie Alley as featured guests at the event. They played Guinan and Savick. And he said he really likes when he can feature someone who was in a Star Trek episode but who has a fan base outside of that. Like
their own star power. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Like last year it was Joan Collins, who, her career speaks for itself. But then she was also the love interest in City on the Edge of Forever. So, so it will be. I have never seen Whoopi Goldberg or Kirstie Alley in person. It'll be fun to see them.
This is gonna be great.
Yeah.
I don't know when the last time they were at a convention was a Star Trek convention.
It had to have been
Kirstie probably hasn't been to a Star Trek convention since the early to mid '80s.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know if she even went to one of those because she was just in one movie and then kind of cast aside and like the Star Trek franchise and he said, she said type of thing. The Star Trek franchise cast her aside. At the same time, she gets a major role on one of the most popular sitcoms of the 80s. So
from what I understand, they did not cast Kirstie aside. Kirstie asked for too much money for the role she was playing. Oh, she went
too far. Okay. That's probably more accurate. It'll be interesting to hear her tell that story. I'm sure that will be the first question she gets asked.
No, they wanted her back. They wanted her back, as far as I know. They were very disappointed when they couldn't get her back.
There's an episode of TNG called Cause and Effect where the Enterprise gets caught in this temporal causality loop. And at the end, they see that there's been this ship from 100 years ago that's been caught in it as well. And the captain of the ship is fantastic. I think it's a Brandon Bragg episode, actually. The captain of the ship is played by Kelsey Grammer, who is, of course, on Cheers. Yep. And they really wanted her to come back as Savick to be like the first officer on the ship and just have her in that cameo as well. Didn't work out, but that would have been fun to have done.
Yeah. That would have been amazing. Oh, my God. That would have been so cool.
Wouldn't that have been great? Well, and then
just a little thing in the background, almost like an Easter egg, right?
Yeah.
And then she would have been in the 21st century. They could have, had her show up on Deep Space Nine or something.
Yeah. I loved Savick.
Yeah. She was terrific.
But I love the Kirstie Alley Savick. I mean, nothing against Robin Curtis, who I've seen in other things, and I've seen her interview, and she's very sweet. But Kirstie has an edge to her when she plays Savick that just – the character just pops.
Well, and the character was supposed to be half Vulcan, half Romulan.
Right.
That popping really makes a lot of sense.
She just had an edge to her that was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's terrific. She works so well as a protege. So, it'll be fun to see her at Vegas. And then we also, the Mission New York, which I guess is happening September, it's been announced that Shatner, Marina Sirtis, Michael Dorn, and Terry Farrell, the first guests lined up, all of whom are fantastic, who are fan favorites. It'll be fun to see them and all the other people they add to it.
Yeah, they're adding apparently one or two new guests every week. I think that's the plan. Like you check the website once a week, and they'll have new people to announce. Apparently, Shatner is only going to be there one day. I think the Sunday of the convention. Okay. The rest of them, Marina, Dorn, and Terry, they're all going to be there the entire run of the convention.
Oh, cool! I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so that's different in and of itself.
Yeah. And I wonder if they're going to have it be a different format compared to like a Creation convention, where at a Creation convention, you see the actor on stage and that's pretty much it. They might be in Las Vegas for a couple of hours and then they're gone.
Right.
But at a lot of other conventions, they hang around all day and maybe another day to do not only a stage thing, but then signing autographs and photo ops and all kinds. And they do that at Creation too, but it just seems like you get more of that, or you get more of the people actually being at the con. So maybe we'll see more of that. Or they'll be in, like in Creation does it where they have the photo ops and stuff off to the side of the stage. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other conventions right. have that going on in the merch room. So you can kind of try to steal a peek, or you're, I think it generates a little bit more excitement because you see people lined up for the photographs while you're just wandering around, and you can talk to yeah. people and see them coming out after getting their photo ops or whatever. And it's kind of
yeah.
fun that way.
I agree with you. I find it, I'm sorry, Jared. I would just want to say, I find it off-putting actually when I'm trying to watch somebody speak and seeing people getting autographs to the side. Like I find that very odd. It would be a better thing, I think, in the merch room.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm sorry, Jared. Anyway, I would cut you off.
Oh, no, that's okay. So sometimes it can create for some fun moments, like last year at the Vegas Con when you had Burton and Spiner and Frakes up on that's stage, true. And then Patrick yeah. Stewart was off to the side signing autographs, and he came up and mingled with his friends and gave them hugs and stuff. I mean that was priceless.
Oh, for sure.
It was. It was. I agree. That was a lot of fun. But how often does that actually
sure.
happen?
That would be the exception rather than the rule, Brian.
Indeed. It sounds like that New York thing is shaping up to be a lot of fun. So
yeah, I'm still really excited for it.
Yeah, there's like a lot of mystery around it. We don't really quite know what it is yet. There's not a lot of detail yet on the website. So
and hey,
it's
hard to gauge exactly what it is.
But
you East Coast people maybe can give us West Coast people some advice. And particularly Brian, who's in New York, how expensive are the hotels going to be? Because a friend of mine was saying he was looking at hotels and they seemed pretty pricey.
Yeah, Manhattan hotels are pretty insane.
Yeah,
my advice would be that unless you have to just be there so close to the venue, I wouldn't even stay in Manhattan.
No,
I would
stay in New Jersey.
Stay in New Jersey or stay in Queens or somewhere nearby.
Okay, and then how do you commute in? On a train?
Subway, probably. Yeah.
Okay.
But we can actually do, as when it gets a little closer, or maybe, soon, we can actually do a kind of maybe part of a show where we maybe help people out.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe we'll write it up. Or write it up in an article. It'd probably be better to write it up
Yeah, I think so. It'd be really useful to have someone who's, I've never even been to New York, so to have someone who lives there say, these are good places to stay, maybe a couple of food recommendations or something just for people who don't know the area.
Right. Right, but my initial advice would be probably to avoid staying in Manhattan.
Absolutely,
because any place you're gonna find that is reasonably priced is gonna be in Manhattan is either gonna be a dump or b really far away.
Okay.
So I don't price Manhattan hotels obviously because I live here, but yeah, I mean everybody I talk to who comes into town who stays in Manhattan often complains about the prices.
If I end up,
or the quality of the rooms, or both.
Yeah, if I end up going to this, I'm gonna stay at my brother's house in Pennsylvania. I'm not gonna pay Manhattan rates for anything. And unless the good people at Mission New York would like to subsidize a visit by the triumvirate from Trek movie, then all bets are off.
The soon to be award winning. Shuttlepod podcast.
Yes,
crew.
Exactly. Wow, I like the way you think.
I like, yeah.
Okay, well, we're...
I didn't say which award.
We may have to make our own.
That's right. Trek Movie's favorite podcast.
In the future, we'll have evolved beyond the need for awards.
That's right.
Okay,
so... I don't know when that will be, but someday.
Hopefully not in the next 6 months. So while we're talking about convention stuff, Kayla, do you and I want to talk about some of our recent convention experiences we've had?
Sure, yeah. I had a couple of weeks ago now the honor of going to the first ever Silicon Valley Comic Con, which was held in San Jose, California, very close to where I live. And it was great. It was put together mostly by Steve Wozniak.
Oh, really?
Most of you know from Apple and working with Steve Jobs. And also in conjunction with Stan Lee. So it was a Steve Wozniak, Stan Lee production, which was very cool. It's the perfect two people to run.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
A convention in Silicon Valley. I got a kick out of the fact that it was almost run the way a like product announcement would be run, like some kind of tech product announcement. It was very, you're sitting in the auditorium and it's dark and they have the laser light show going and techno music. It's like, unch, 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 welcome to Comic-Con. And I was just like, my roommate works in tech and I turned to him. I'm like, is this like exactly what techie things are like? He's like, oh yeah, this is what they know how to do. This is exactly like going to, you know, an Apple product announcement or something like that. This is very high energy and bringing all the CEOs out on stage. And they're like, hey, everyone wearing like a blazer over a t-shirt with some product logo on it.
The standard Silicon Valley uniform.
The standard Silicon Valley uniform, yeah. And they even had a Madame Tussauds unveiling of their newest wax figure, which was of Steve Wozniak.
And which looks amazing.
It looks great, yeah. And the figure has him wearing a Silicon Valley Comic-Con t-shirt.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah, because you posted a picture of like him standing in the same pose right next to the...
Yeah, when they unveiled the statue.
To the wax figure. That was amazing. It was fantastic.
They pulled this red curtain down, and there's two Steve Wozniaks identically dressed standing in this box. And everyone's like, who's the real one? No. It was cute. It was cute. And William Shatner was there. He opened the event, and he was fantastic, as always. Crazy slash funny. And he... Wozniak was in the front row, and Shatner asked him to, he said, I want you to ask me the first question. And Woz grabbed the mic, and you could see he was kind of put on the spot, but he basically said, you know, I've been watching you, you know, be Captain Kirk and wanting to talk to you for much longer than you've known I existed, basically. But it was very cute. It was a cute exchange. Although Shatner did walk out on stage and tell everyone that Steve Wozniak invented the iPhone, which I'm sure Woz was cringing at.
Oh goodness.
Because he didn't.
It's all right. Bill, we'll forgive Bill.
That's all right. He's a crazy old coot when it comes to technology, so.
Just as long as he didn't go off on a half an hour rant about quantum mechanics.
Luckily not. Oh, he kind of started to, actually. He started to ask these questions to Woz about, I don't know, we're all connected, whatever, energy. And Woz was basically like, I'm an engineer, so I don't really go that far. I kind of have my... He tried to be really nice about it and basically say, no, I don't believe any of that.
Yeah. In case you're at home wondering what the reference to quantum physics is, in 2014, Shatner came out on stage, and for the first half hour of his discussion in Vegas, he talked about quantum physics.
But not even in relation to
Star
physics.
Trek.
No.
Right, and not even in relation to Star Trek in any way. He just went off on this tangent about quantum physics, and we're all just sitting there looking at him like, really?
Yeah.
But again, the important distinction here is that it wasn't an actual discussion about quantum physics. It was a discussion about sort of new age energy chakra kind of things with the word quantum interjected.
Yeah.
Pseudoscience.
Yeah.
Which is a common thing for sort of pseudoscience, new agey things. They like to use scientific words like quantum when they don't really have an understanding of what it means.
Yeah. Anyway, I think sometimes he does talk about these topics because he doesn't know what else to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, I read an article this morning from on my phone about such and such. Okay. Well, that's what I'll talk about today.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, seriously. I think that is it. That sounded exactly like the start of a William Shatner story.
Oh, and Kayla, Nichelle was there, right? Talking with Rod Roddenberry.
Yeah, that's right. And she was fantastic as ever. She talked a lot about her experiences working with NASA.
Trying
to recruit people to become astronauts, basically. And because they said to her, NASA came and said to her, you know, we're really having trouble reaching women and reaching minorities. You know, what can we do to try to reach these people? And she said, basically, how about making some of them astronauts? Because you're trying to reach all of these, you know, you're trying to reach black women by showing them pictures of a bunch of white men, you know, was her point. And she said, if we don't see people that look like us, we're not going to believe that we can also do that. So to her, it seemed so obvious. And to them, it was like this big revelation. So they sort of appointed her as a recruiter for NASA, specifically for women and minorities.
Now, how
cool is that?
They actually even sent her into space last year, didn't they? Or into the
low orbit? They sent her into
the stratosphere.
Low Earth orbit. Certainly the stratosphere, yeah. So she was up on one of the NASA scientific planes. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's a high-altitude plane, basically.
The SOFIA, the Stratospheric Observatory for Infrared Astronomy. which is pretty cool. I mean,
super cool. I want to go on that.
I would be terrified to do that, let alone if I were very advanced in age. So that's just fantastic that she was able to do that.
Totally. And I do want to point out her recruitment efforts actually bore fruit. Ronald McNair, who became an astronaut and unfortunately, you know, passed away in the Challenger disaster, but he was one of Nichelle's recruits. He was an astronaut.
Oh, really? Wow.
And he got there because of Nichelle's recruiting. There were others in NASA, but he's the most prominent one. She had an effect. There's no question. In fact, Nichelle probably had more of an effect doing that than anything else she's done in her life.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. Yeah. I mean, that's you're affecting other people's lives in a very profound way. I mean, you're helping lead them into this incredible career.
And in a real tangible way.
Yeah. So good for her.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And she's so sweet as ever. She comes on stage and people are like, we love you. And she says, I love you too. And she's just such a sweet woman.
Now, I had a question about an exchange that she had with Rod. Didn't Rod ask her something about whether she's got anything coming up Star Trek related or something? And she kind of gave a weird answer.
Yeah, she did give a cagey answer and I'm not sure how to interpret it. He said something about, do you know anything about the upcoming Star Trek television show? Let me actually look up the exact. I'm not sure if he mentioned the movie too.
Well, Kayla, while you're looking that up, I'll talk about my recent convention experience. I went to the Fan X in Salt Lake City. They do two conventions a year. One they call Comic-Con and the other they call Fan X. LeVar Burton was there and George Takei was there. I wasn't able to see George, but I saw LeVar and he did just an amazing job. The amount of love that he has because of his legacy of the host of Reading Rainbow is something I didn't realize till I started going to some of these things more. The other thing that he was promoting the most was, I guess he's producing an updated version of Roots, which is where his career started.
Right.
It's Kunta Kinte in the 70s. It'll come out in a couple months. Looks like it's going to be terrific. And so you can see how passionate he was to be able to talk about it and how fun it must be for him personally to have this be like bookends to his career, where he was able to start with that and then now he's able to you know, as a 40 years later, he's able to be on the other side of the equation.
And that was the thing that brought him to the public eye was Roots.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sometimes people might forget because Patrick Stewart's star has risen so much. But when TNG started, he was the star. He was the only one who had any star power in terms of
and Will
name
Wheaton.
Recognition. Oh, yeah, Will Wheaton. True. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Even I'd forgotten that because of Gordy.
Stand by me,
yeah. So that was fun. I appreciated being able to see him. There was one point a kid came up and said, what do you like better, Star Wars or Star Trek? And he kind of paused, and everyone else laughed, and he did like a slapping motion in the air, like he was slapping the kid. And then he said, of course he prefers Star Trek.
Good answer.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, like, he couldn't have said, let's say he did prefer Star Wars, he couldn't have said so in front of a Star Trek convention. He would have been never made it out of the building alive.
No, well, this was the Fan X, and it's a broader community, not just Star Trek. But still, he could not have said that.
Of course not. Yeah. But of course, we know that the truth is he likes Star Trek better.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
So what Rod said to Nichelle, he was asking her if anyone had approached her about being in either any of the upcoming movies or the TV show. And Nichelle's answer was cryptic, but potentially exciting. She said, quote, yes, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Oh, wow.
So don't know if that means someone approached her and said, you know, we're making this. Do we have your blessing or do you want to be in it or what?
Yeah,
But it's exciting to know that she's been talked to about it. She's been approached about it.
I mean, it's a little thing to, like, speculate on, but it's still, you know, it may be nothing, but we don't have much to go on these days, so we'll run with it.
It may be some voice work, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like Will Wheaton did some voice work in the 2009 Star Trek, and, you know, it's not much, but it's fun to know that the veterans are involved.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would be thrilled to have her involved in anything.
They might do some stuff with, like, 23rd century era computer that needs to be voiced, and they figure
I was thinking about computer voices. What are they going to do for the new TV show?
Well, I think they should get Marina Sirtis to do it.
Yeah, that's what Star Trek continues to have Marina
do. Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Except in the Mirror Universe, where trivia, it was Michael Dorn.
Michael Dorn, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Need to check that out.
So, speaking of having very little to go on, Star Trek Beyond.
Graceful segue.
Yeah. What's come out lately? So they finally released something beyond the first teaser, which was one image of Scotty and this new character, Jayla.
The skunk lady.
Looking at something. The Zindi skunk, as Jared dubbed her.
We don't know if she's a skunk. She just looks like it.
She looks like a Zindi skunk. That she is does. Our
yeah.
Trek movies money is on the table that yes. she will be Zindi skunk in the
Thank
credits.
You.
but yes, it's this picture of Scotty. It's great to see anything official coming out of it because it's this nice tailored photo of them holding flashlights, looking at something. What are they looking at? I don't know. Caption this photo. I mean, it's not much, but it's cool to see something come out of it that's like relatively polished.
Yeah, but it doesn't engender a whole lot of excitement to me.
Yeah. Well, so this is something we were talking a bit about. We've been talking about this actually for probably every podcast we've ever done, but quite a bit on the website and in the comments. Whenever anyone brings up Beyond, it's gosh, are we going to see anything about Beyond in terms of advertising? We've seen the one teaser trailer that came out to very poor reaction by both fans and critics. That the writer Simon Pegg essentially apologized for, saying this doesn't really capture the soul of the film. It's going to be more than just shoot 'em up flying motorcycles.
Fast and Furious in space.
Yeah. So he said, you know, I hope that'll come across in the movie itself. So that was kind of a rough start for advertising for the film. And then all we've had since then is this one photo that's come out. And a lot of people have been saying, you know, we're really getting close to the release date now. It's about 3.5 months away as of today. It comes out July 22nd later this year. And someone said to me recently, oh, when Star Trek Into Darkness was coming out, by this time in the advertisement cycle, we'd already had so much more. And I thought, well, we can quantify that. So what I've done is made a timeline comparing the advertisement of Star Trek Beyond compared to Star Trek Into Darkness based on number of days before release. So Star Trek Into Darkness came out May 7th, 2013. And again, Star Trek Beyond's coming out July 22nd, and today we are currently 109 days before the release of Star Trek Beyond. And we have had the teaser, the first teaser, which was actually 221 days before Beyond. And we've had this set of images that just came out. At this point in Star Trek Into Darkness's advertising, 109 days in, we had the first announcement trailer in December, which is 151 days before the release. We had a set of images come out a few days later, 148 days. The second teaser trailer, 140 days. So in December, we had three things within the span of a couple weeks. January, 124 days out, we had another set of images. And that was, 124 days. So that brings us about to where we are now. The next thing we got was 92 days before release in February, we had the Super Bowl ad. So by this time, Star Trek Into Darkness had two trailers and two sets of images released. Beyond has had the one teaser very early on in the advertising schedule, and then this one image released.
Yeah.
So I think we definitely haven't had as much as Star Trek Into Darkness. Honestly, I thought it was going to be worse than this when I made timeline. I thought there was actually a lot more. I felt like, because the Super Bowl this year seems like we're so far past that. You know, and I remember there being a Super Bowl ad. But I think one of the big differences that Into Darkness came out in early May, where Beyond comes out late July. So there's a 2.5 month time difference. So it already feels like we're 2.5 months behind, plus the fact that we really have tangibly gotten less stuff. So that's where we stand.
Well, the other thing is we haven't been told that a major character isn't a certain figure from Star Trek's history who we all kind of suspect the character would be, then we can be hurriedly told, no, he's a different guy. Oh, no, wait, he really is that guy. So we can be grateful we haven't been exposed to that.
Well, that's true. Yeah, and that's actually true, too.
I think they've learned their lesson.
Yeah.
I should consider other buzz besides, as I just looked at official releases of media, so images and trailers. But yeah, that's a good point. We haven't heard hardly anything about characters or anything like that either. We have heard a little bit. You heard about the villain.
Yeah, we know the name of Idris Elba's character. I think it's Grawl. Yeah.
Right.
And we know about the just Jayla character.
Yeah, but we don't know. Are they some new species? Are they from the Zindi? Are they from the Dominion? Or do they have any connection to anything else that from Trek lore that we may be aware of? The other thing is, I they did such a magnificent job with the promotion for Star Wars. And I don't know, it's a different studio who's working on it, but you hope that they might have picked some of the things up from that. I mean, one of the things that I thought was very clever with the Star Wars promotion is there was the Finn character, and they said, his name's Finn, but we're not going to tell you what his last name is because it's too important. And so everyone started speculating, oh, is he like Lando Calrissian's son? Is his name Finn Calrissian or whatever? Or, oh, wait, maybe he's Mace Windu's, like, grand nephew or something, and his name is Finn Windu. And then, of course, it turned out Finn isn't even his name. It's just he had a designation, and they invented the name. So it was really clever, a way to, like, spur discussion among fans in a way that didn't reveal any plot points but was interesting. And then when you get the revelation in the movie, you say, ah, that's clever. So hopefully we can see something, anything along those lines, but that may be too much to ask for.
Yeah, I don't mind that they haven't released... It's kind of like you were saying. I don't mind that they haven't released plot details. I just would like to feel like they cared enough to advertise about the film. I think people won't even know it's coming. We know it's coming because we're fans and we're really in the thick of it. But the average person has no idea there's a Star Trek movie coming out this summer. And that's a shame.
Yeah, there's a Star Trek movie coming out in 3 months that nobody knows about.
No one knows about it. I'll be sitting in the theater. I think I've told the story before, but I'll be sitting in the theater with my friends who are fans, and I'll sigh, I wish we could see a Star Trek trailer come out. And they'll say, yeah, but that's not coming out till like next year, right? I'm like, no, it's coming out this year. It's coming out this summer. And
there's
shocked.
No awareness out there whatsoever.
No, there's not.
Yeah. I have a bit of a theory, though, about why we may be in a lull in the marketing.
Let's hear it.
I think JJ, after he completed his Star Wars responsibilities after Christmas, maybe right around Christmas time, started to focus on this movie because he had the time to. And between the questionable teaser trailer and maybe other things that maybe needed to be addressed, maybe that's what's holding things up. We know they did reshoots recently, and maybe that's part of a larger reorganization of the film's marketing campaign, or parts of the story itself. I mean, this is total theory on my part, but it kind of makes sense because obviously JJ was not able to focus too much of his attention on this movie until he finished with the gigantic responsibilities he had with Star Wars. Yeah. So his name is on this movie, even though he's not directing it, he is producing it, and it is his production company that's putting it out. So it wouldn't surprise me if that's part of what's causing this weird gap of activity.
See, that's why they should have a PR team that tries to, if that's the case, does everything they can to make it not seem like that. Like, put out anything, a poster. Have some graphic guy spend an afternoon making a poster. It doesn't even have to be good. Just put something out official just to make people happy and get it circulating around the web. It's not that hard.
Put out a cast photo of the cast standing on the bridge.
Yeah.
Anything.
Anything. Yeah, and they did have a couple of things going on before, while they were still shooting. Remember, they had those charity...
Yeah, which was great.
Videos
that was really good.
Yeah, those were fantastic. More stuff like that. But, it doesn't even have to be a big reveal. It doesn't have to be a picture from the film. Just, something. I just don't understand why they're not doing it, I guess.
It doesn't show much confidence when there's nothing.
Yeah.
No, it's very disturbing. It's almost like they're afraid or something.
Yeah, I get the same impression.
Yeah, which is not that's not what the impression the studio should not want. They shouldn't want to give us that impression, and that's what we're sort of picking up on, is that something appears to be wrong.
Well, and the fact that it's the 50th, I think, gives such a great news hook for any pitch, right? Because it's like, oh, hey, Did you remember it's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek? Oh, yeah, and we have this movie coming out. Hey, let's talk about it.
Yeah, and they haven't seized that opportunity.
I mean, next month will be the beginning of the summer blockbuster season.
Yeah.
That's when it'll start. You know, so you have to have, I would think we would have to see something by right around this time next month. There has to be something out. They have to start building awareness of the film. They have to. Movies that are coming out at the same exact time that that movie's coming out have already had trailers out. Like, they have to start building awareness of this thing soon if they want anybody to go see it outside of, like, the hardcore Star Trek fan base.
Yeah. I'm looking at what else is coming out that month, and it shouldn't be difficult for them to do well. The only big release, otherwise, there's the same weekend Ice Age Collision Course is coming out, which seems to be, like, kind of counter-programming. This horror movie called Lights Out, right? So we have, like, a G-rated movie, an R-rated movie, and then a PG-13 movie. So they're not in competition for the same market. The weekend before, the new Ghostbusters movie comes out.
Right.
Which,
right.
I don't know how – I don't think anyone knows what to make of that in terms of what to expect.
Not yet, no.
Yeah, people are kind of confused by the first trailer.
Yeah.
It was not very funny.
No, it wasn't. There was too much, like, meaningless exposition in it. Anyway, I don't want to go on a segue on that. But only one Star Trek movie has failed to open at number one when it came out, and that was Nemesis. And so I don't want it, you know, I don't want that to change. I hope that that never changes. I hope that every Star Trek movie that comes out can open at number one. But if they don't promote it appropriately, that we might see a repeat of 2002.
Maybe. And the other issue, too, is the following week, I believe – The next Jason Bourne movie comes out. Which Matt Damon is in.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, they're going to have pretty stiff competition there. So they really have to start letting people know they have a movie coming out.
Yeah.
I really think by the beginning of May, by the time the first big movies start coming out, I have to think there'll be a trailer attached to one of those movies. It has to be. Can't wait forever.
So that we'll see what happens along. Okay, here's something I did want to mention. We did a Twitter poll last week, and we asked our followers on Twitter, what are you more excited for, Star Trek All Access or Star Trek Beyond? And 73% of people said All Access, the new TV show, and only 27% said Beyond. Now, a couple people scolded me online because they said, you should have included an option for both. So next time we do this, we'll include an option for both. So I apologize for that. But it didn't particularly surprise me to see that the overwhelming majority of fans – more interested in a TV show than in Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely an overwhelming majority. And you know what? To the people who really want both, you said, what are you more excited about?
Exactly. Exactly. So it right. seems
One
unlikely
of the other
that
people,
it'd be exactly 50-50.
You have to choose.
Yeah.
All right. Jared, I believe you have a Treknikdote for us.
Yes. We like to close these off with just little aspects of where we're going through your daily life. And something from Star Trek pops up, whether it's, you know, remembering an episode or some other kind of experience. And I've been watching this TV show, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, which I don't know if you guys have followed that on FX. The final episode will have aired by the time this podcast drops. And I remember us being at a convention in, like, 1995 where Majel was there, and she was talking about how eventually someday – they will do a TV show about the O.J. Simpson trial, which at that point was still current events. And she said she thought the best person to play O.J. Simpson would be Michael Dorn because he's good-looking, he's charismatic, he's athletic. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm watching this, and Cuba Gooding Jr. is doing a great job, and obviously he's a bigger name than Michael Dorn is. But he doesn't have the physicality of that would be required for a – someone who was a professional football player, and like that, you know, he'll stand up with a defense attorney, and he'll be shorter than some of them. And I think if that were Michael Dorn, he would be the right size. So, mm-hmm. alas, there was no Twitter campaign. We want Worf for OJ. We're stuck. Glad you like that. So we're stuck with Cuba Gooding Jr. But in my mind, I just want to see Michael Dorn there, if only to prove Majel right.
Can I
Photoshop a picture of Worf wearing a Buffalo Bills uniform?
Can I make a really bad joke?
Let's hear it.
He likes prune juice better anyways.
Oh.
Oh my god.
Warriors drink.
That's right.
He likes prune juice better than OJ. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, okay, and again, right. I got to tie right. it back in. Right. The parody of Johnny Cochran on Seinfeld, the character Jackie Childs, was played by an actor. Okay, I'm looking it up right now. Phil Morris, had a cameo
yeah.
on Star Trek III. And in that episode, for some reason, Kramer, he brings into his legal counsel his caddy, who was played by Armin Shimerman. So it's all related. These things all come back to Star Trek.
6 degrees of Star Trek.
There you go. Anyway, there you have it.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much for that, Mr. Whitley.
My pleasure.
All right, and I think we're going to wrap it up here for another installment of the Shuttle Pod. I'm Brian. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.
Guy walks into the doctor's office. The doctor tells him you need an operation. The guy says, I want a second opinion. The doctor says, okay, you're ugly too, but boom.